His mercies are new every morning. I love that. Please excuse my slightly croaky voice. I'll do my best to project. If you can't hear me, just shout, speak louder. And it's great to be here. Apologies from Donna for not arriving, but hey, she's just sent a prophetic word, so she's here in spirit. Yeah, I do like the encouragement, so please, you know, wave your hankies and get all Pentecostal on me. And it's really helpful. So good. So good. It does. It brings energy. Great job this morning. Thank you, worship team. And if I had my book, I'd give it to you. You may have already read it. I don't know. But you said something about, you know, why did David put the tabernacle back in the heart of the nation? I'll just give you a nugget because I feel it's good to share that. Because God is restoring tabernacles of David all over the earth. And you'll see that in the houses of prayer and worship that have been established. You'll see that in certain churches that have gone, hey, let's just have worship nights. And there's a grassroots move of the Lord to release a sound, prophetic sound, to encourage people to come to encounter, because something is needed to draw people back to God, and that something is the tabernacle of David. Something is needed to change the atmosphere in a city, in a town, in a nation, and that something is the tabernacle of David. And God said, I will return and rebuild David's tent that has fallen down, so that the remnant, or God's people, the people that really need something but don't know where it is, and it's in the tabernacle of David, because in his presence is the fullness of joy, and where his presence is, so is his power to heal. So the first thing David did, pretty much the first thing he did when he became king, was to go and fetch this ark, the representation of the presence of God, that thing that was carried through the desert, that place where it was in the tent of meeting. And extra point. Sorry, over here. It wasn't in the tabernacle of Moses. It wasn't there. The presence of God was not in the tabernacle of Moses, yet religious activity was happening there. David went and got the presence of God, let's say it like that, and brought it back into the heart of the nation. His nation was in poverty. His nation was oppressed on all sides. And his priority was to bring the tabernacle of David right back into the heart of his nation and establish 24/7 prayer and worship. And he transformed his nation from a place of poverty and lack and oppression into a global superpower because he prioritized worship and the presence of God. So, amen. Amen, as you say down here. You have extra syllables on the words. Anyway, so I could carry on with that, but that's just a... Thank you very much. Right, so from Prophet Donna, word for Wellspring Church, 5th of May 2024. Starting with Genesis 26 and verse 4, I will make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and will give them all these lands, and through your offspring all nations on earth will be blessed. Amen. Wellspring. Oh, I'm trying this without crying. What is wrong with me these last few days? I've been wrecked by the love of the Lord. Wellspring, you are a treasure to my heart. I love the way you gather. I love the way you look for those who are in need of me. I love the way you make sure that nobody is left on the outskirts. You are like a mother hen who gathers her chicks. That's Matthew 23:37. And because you have been so good at gathering and taking care of and looking after the little ones that come, that's really interesting that she used that phrase, because there seems to be an abundance of little ones here. And families attract families. Sorry, this is my interjection here. Sorry, Donna, sorry. And it's just the beginning of new life and new growth, in my opinion. So I need to put these back on again. Because you've been so good at gathering and taking care of the and looking after the little ones that come, so I'm going to increase your sphere of influence. This is going to be a season of incredible fruit. This is a season of bounty and a season of harvest. You may have labored, you may have sown, you may have served faithfully, but not seen the results that you wanted. come on. But John, you're about to see something incredible. Your hope for revival, your heart to touch the nations with my love is increasing in greater measure than you even hope for and have even prayed about. So you've prayed faithfully, but not seen the results you wanted. But John, you're about to see something incredible. Your hope for revival, your heart to touch the nations with my love, is increasing in greater measure than you've even hoped for or have even prayed about. I'm lifting the lid off so that you can dream without hindrance, so that you can fly, so that you can enjoy adventures with me, because I'm going to take you to places that you've not even got on your radar at the moment. I'm calling you to the nations, and I'm calling you to be a voice and calling you to raise up others to join in with that voice, to train, to teach, to mentor, and to disciple, so that what you've been doing by yourself suddenly has exponential growth, because there are more of you to reach the places that I am calling you to. So look out for those who have a hunger for me, who have a hunger for my word, a hunger for mission. Look out for those that need mentoring and raise them up, because Wellspring, you are a sending church. You're a people who will send out missionaries to go around the world. I'm going to bless you with many, many things. I'm going to bless you with the resources you need to be able to fulfill the assignments that I place within your hands. And I'm blessing you with gifts to be able to touch the hearts of men. I'm placing within your passion so that you will want to do that which I call you to do. This is an exciting season. Don't look back on the past and the frustrations of the old with its slowness, because now it is a time of momentum, building on what you've already established, but moving forward swiftly and quickly, because I'm accelerating things in this hour, and that's really true. God is on the move. It's not going to take as long to see the fruits, to see the outcome of that which you invest in. So invest wisely in my kingdom. Spend time with me. Meditate on my word. Eat my word. Savor my word. Memorize my word. Release my word so it is living within you. That's another reference, Jeremiah 16:15. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless your hands. I'm going to bless your fellowship with one another. There will be harmony. There will be strength in unity. I'm blessing you even now. Greater bonds among you that cannot be broken, because I'm in the middle of your relationships. Ecclesiastes 4 verse 12. And if you trust me, if you allow me to move, then you can move mountains. Things that have seemed insurmountable, things that seemed like mighty obstacles, can just be removed at your command, because I'm hearing your prayers. This is a new season, a season of being radical, passionate, in love with me, voracious in your pursuit of me, because as you pursue me, it will be like combustion catching on fire simultaneously. You will lack for nothing, because my kingdom is being poured out as if you are an open heaven, where you're under an open heaven wherever you go, individually or corporately. I'm going to bless you with my presence. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Come, Holy Spirit. I'm going to bless you with your presence, and you will know how to steward my Holy Spirit in your midst. So my Holy Spirit has full permission to do what I want to do. This is a good season for you to be blessed and encouraged. And that is the word of the Lord. I hope that's an encouragement to you. Thank you, Donna, for sending that. It makes me look good. which this is. Thank you for laughing, Shua. Yeah, I'll send it to you so everyone. It'd be great if everyone has a copy of it. You know, one of the things that I realize is that when you hear a prophetic word, you'll catch a few phrases and then you'll go away and carry on with life and forget about it. I encourage you, take some phrases, turn some of that into songs, sing it out in your spontaneous worship. There are things that need to be sung out over the church. You know, we'll hear a prophetic word once, but we'll sing songs over and over and over again. So this is often where we get our theology song is from the songs we're singing. So it's really important that the songs are good. Great choice of music today, and it's great to praise. It's not a pet hate, it's just a little grumble, really, a little tiny thing, is that we've forgotten what rejoicing is in corporate worship. There's a lot of 72 beats per minute, which I have no problem with. You know, the pressing in, the worship and all of that. I love it. I love worship. But rejoice. I say again, rejoice, and that's what we did. So thank you, guys. I really appreciated just praise and celebration, because there's so much to celebrate in the Spirit of God. I do need to have a drink. Hallelujah. God is good. All the time. Thank you. I said that once in a church, and I said, God is good, and they all cried out, it's his nature. And I was like, that's great. Amen. I agree. I really like that. I'm going to do an advert. I have written a few books. This is a children's prayer book. It's called My Lord's Prayer. I have an unusual spelling. You can get this for the low price of just $5 from Amazon. I might just ship you some, but this is written based on the Lord's Prayer. Let me read you a bit. Papa, give me today the fresh bread of your goodness and the fullness of your loving presence. Help me to share that bread with those I meet and let them enjoy the abundance of your love. So give me today my daily bread. So I've taken the lines of the Lord's Prayer and I've kind of turned it into a language that children can hear and understand and speak out and repeat over and over again. And it's got some lovely illustrations, a beautifully illustrated children's book. So this is a book that grandparents can read over their grandchildren, that older siblings can read over their younger ones, and hopefully it will embed into the hearts of the little ones that relationship with Abba Father. You know, Jesus, when he prayed, said Abba, which means daddy, papa. And that's inviting us into a more intimate relationship. We're not supposed to be standoff and, you know, God's a serious man with a beard sitting on a cloud somewhere in our future that will judge us. He's a loving dad and we are all his children. And that revelation of the Father's heart is such a critical path that we need to go on to realize that it's not my striving and all the things that I achieve and do that get me into a place of approval. It's because I'm approved. I want to live and work for him, and everything then flows out of the worship of that. So that's called My Lord's Prayer, and I do encourage you to get it for your youth and your kids. Youth, that's a London word for youth. It's Y-O-O-F, if you wanted to write that down. If you're in the south of London, you're from the south. Just teaching. I'm from the south, but I'm from the south of England, so I have a slightly different accent. Lived on the south coast all my life. Right. How are we doing? Grief. It's 10 past already. Okay, I've got about 25 pages of notes. I don't think it'll take me too long to get through. I'm kind of joking. Let me pray. That would be really good, wouldn't it? I'm just going to keep standing here because it kind of feels warm. Father, we love you. We thank you. You deserve it all. This is all for you. We celebrate you. Lord, we thank you for the fingerprints that are embedded in our lives when we can look back and see where you've placed your hand, where you've worked your wonders in our life. And I pray, Holy Spirit, you'd come and hover over Wellspring right now as you hovered over the waters of creation, that we'd be so aware of how near you are. Let us become more aware of your presence. And your presence is your face, and you said you would not hide your face from us. So, Lord, we eagerly lean into you and your understanding, and try not to lean too much on ours because it's a bit shaky and a bit dodgy. But, Lord, you are solid as a rock. And we stand upon your words, we stand upon your truth, we stand upon your promises. And Lord, I ask that your kingdom would come and your will would be done in this place, in our lives, in our circumstances, in every situation that we're involved in. Kingdom of heaven come, in Jesus' mighty name. And one thing I've noticed recently is God just likes healing people, and you have permission to be healed. I don't need to pray for you, but I'm very happy to pray for you later on. And I was in Brazil with Dr. Randy Clark and the Global Awakening International Ministry team, and Rodney Hoag was the first speaker, and the worship just finished, and he just came on. The first thing he said was, check your bodies out, try and do something you couldn't do before. Just maybe you came in with some pain, and just see how you're doing. So that's an invitation I'll give you now. If you've got any pain in your body, just see, is it any different? Is it any better? If it is, just give me a little wave, because we want to give glory to Jesus. You know, we can live with grumbles and pains and neck ache and headaches and all sorts of things, and then suddenly we just realize they're not there anymore, and we think, oh, that's good, that's gone. And we maybe didn't even realize that the Lord's grace just went in, I bless you, and we've walked out away with healing. But especially in the house of the Lord, when we're worshiping in his presence, there is power to heal, and God wants to heal us. So just thank you. It's really good. You can tell when there's faith, when people start doing things like this, and like, oh, yeah, and they kind of go, oh. More often than not, it's when we say to someone, try and do something you couldn't do before, that they stand up. I prayed for a woman, so I'm going to get in there now. I prayed for this woman on a Zoom call in Vietnam, and she was sat on a chair, and I had the screen there, and she had breathing and heart issues, I'm pretty sure. She just said, I can't, if I get up and walk, I can't breathe. So I prayed for her, and I said, can you stand up and just try and take a few paces? And she kind of walked out of the view of the camera and walked back in, sat back down, and through the interpreter, found out that she was 50% better. And then I said, well, we bless what God is doing. Stand up again and walk. And she stood up, and her face changed in that moment, because she realized whatever was going on here has completely gone. And she just walked back and walked back and walked back, and she just celebrated. And that was the beginning of many, many people getting healed on a Zoom call, would you believe? God is able to do immeasurably more than all we could ask or imagine through his power at work within us, all of us, not just me, or not just Pastor John, or whoever. We all get to play in this kingdom of heaven all the time. So be healed in Jesus' name if you need it. Nothing's too hard for him. Nothing's too difficult for him.